Getting there on time just isn't good enough. Traffic and weather on the 10s with Wills and Snyder in the morning on WTAM 1100, Cleveland's news radio.
Mike Snyder Sports coming up. Cavs embarrassed in Toronto last night. It's 5:12. Wills ways to save. Matt Granite, Channel 3's morning news. And in Vegas all week, he's come across the most practical portable item at CES. Matt?
This is for real, and before you lose your appetite for your next meal, the reason I'm in the bathrobe is one of the coolest 4-in-1 gadgets that I've just finished testing in my hotel room. Encompasses a shaver, a couple of charging needs, something for your smartphone, and something for your car. One of the most ingenious 4-in-1 consumer electronics show gadgets I've ever seen. So you plug this in, and yes, you get a fully functional Apple or Android device charger. Great. But with this, you also get a car deodorizer. This can then break a window in the event of an emergency. You can use this. Oh, and you can shave with it. Check this out. This right now. Ah, look at that. Oh, shaving me in the car. For all those last-minute beauty routines, this bargain, which could save your life, improve your face, and charge your tech, is unreal. So before you reach for this or various other tech items, you can find everything you need on our website. More huge deals on the way from CES. Back to you.
Check out the video. It's really funny. Good research. Good stuff all week from Granite. Good follow on Twitter, too, at Matt Granite. You can watch him on 3 this morning. Back here Monday with more savings. Just go to WTAM.com, keyword save. Check out the video from the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. And can't wait to hear what Bill O'Reilly says with Glenn Beck when he joins him at 10:06 this morning. You know, Monday is Dr. Martin Luther King Day, so it's a federal holiday, Mike Snyder. So Washington, they get a 3-day weekend.
Yeah.
They need it.
Yeah.
Pelosi, Trump, I think they're all exhausted. They've got problems speaking. They're being quoted. They just need a long weekend. That's what I think.
You take the weather and some of the things that are being said by these our leaders, yes. And the Cavaliers kind of mirror all of that.
I'm not sure what to do about the Cavs, but I know Washington needs a 3-day weekend. Sports mornings, 15 and 45 fast. Here's Mike Snyder.
Bill, the Cavs were embarrassed again last night. It's a mess right now. The Raptors were without two of their top three players, and they still did a number on the fragile Cavs.
Now comes DeRozan with a foul line. Feeds Powell left corner. Back to Van Vliet. Wide open. Three. Good. Oh, boy. Fred Van Vliet has knocked down 5 triples. He has 19 points. He's the high Raptor. It's Raptors 93, Cavaliers 63.
Fred Van Vliet with 22. He's a tough young player. And boy, I tell you, Toronto was just tougher. They wanted it more in every way, shape, and form. They blew out the Cavs 133-99. Raptors led 65-40 at the half. How about this number? Toronto out-rebounded the Cavs 63-35. Now in the postgame press conference, Coach Lou, for most of his 2.5 minutes, he kind of said, well, we just got to play better. We got to play better. Then he dropped this at the very end.
I never really get concerned. We got to be better. We know that. But until we play better defensively, you know, I think offensively, I'm sharing the basketball. I think everyone on the same page. You know, and if guys have agendas, we got to get rid of our agendas and play the right way.
What do you mean by that?
That's what I said.
You think they do?
I don't know.
All right, who's got the agenda out there as the players are looking around right now? LeBron had 26 points with just one assist.
We're just in a funk. We're in a funk. Once again, we're back to the beginning of the season. We just got to find a way to get out of it, you know. And it's so fragile, you know, and I don't know where, you know, kind of went wrong or what happened. It kind of the switch went back, but we got to try to pick it back up and find it.
Well, there is no excuse for this team to play the way it has these last two games. They're two good teams that they played against. No excuse, though. It's one thing to lose, but the way they are losing, going down without a fight and not getting any 50-50 balls, that rebound number, 63-35. That's just ridiculous. Now, they are in Indiana tonight. Isaiah Thomas is part of what's going on now. He's struggling now in his comeback. He was just 2 of 15 shooting last night. He'll probably sit this one out tonight. Final game of the trip at 7 against Indiana. We'll have it for you here. College ball last night, Ohio State's a great story right now. Buckeyes blew out Maryland 91-69. Browns are getting a new receivers coach, Adam Henry. He has been with the Giants, worked with Hugh in Oakland. It's divisional weekend in the NFL. NFL tomorrow at 4:35, Atlanta at Philly, 8:15 tomorrow night, New England will host Tennessee, then Sunday at 1, Steelers and Jaguars, and at 4:40, it's New Orleans at Minnesota. Now, coming up, LeBron talks about his sideline tirade that we all saw in the second quarter, that story at 5:45. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, News Radio, WTAM 1100.
And there's a report out this week, too, about Russia and the election, and our Bill Zimfer's got that and some more this morning for us on News Radio WTAM 1100. Hi, Bill.
Hey, good morning, Bill.
This was a congressional report, I think, that came out this week about Russia?
Well, they had a congressional report come out, but also there was a report that came out that quoted National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster as saying there are early signs that Russia is interfering in Mexico's presidential election. This on top of that report released this week on Russian meddling in European elections. So we started to look at Russia's history of meddling in elections. And really, you look at it, it goes back to the 1990s when they started meddling in elections back in the former Soviet countries. So now they're to the point where they have used subversion, disinformation, and propaganda, according to H.R. McMaster, to influence elections. And Mexico goes to the polls next July. They are already said to be working on that election.
Here, former White House advisor Steve Bannon expected to appear next week before House Intelligence Committee in their probe. You know, we've had cyber wars. We've had actual war, of course, with the old Soviet Union. And we're always in cyber war, it seems like, with Russia. This is almost like an info war with the Russians, it seems.
Boy, it sure is. And they have used all means at their disposal, not only hacking, they've stolen emails from the German parliament, but also Facebook posts. We know in this country they put up fake Facebook postings of fake groups trying to influence the election here. So they have used all means at their disposal, from cyber warfare all the way down to social media.
All right, Bill Zimfer on the story this morning. Bill, thanks much.
You're welcome.
Some of the news of the week, bring in Fox's Chris Wallace. Look, you've covered Washington for years. I thought it was fascinating the other day. President Trump brings in the leadership of both parties, and cameras are rolling the whole time.
Well, for at least 55 minutes. And you know, the way it normally works is they allow cameras in for an event like this. They spend 2 or 3 minutes. It's called a spray.
Right.
Because literally the camera is going back and forth like a system on your front lawn, a sprinkler, uh-huh, because you're trying to get pictures of all the people before you're kicked out. And the president, and I suspect part of it had to do with the book raising questions about his fitness, held court and controlled the meeting for almost an hour on immigration with Republicans and Democrats. And I love that he had a meeting yesterday with the cabinet, and when the camera crew came in, he said, well, welcome back to the studio. So I don't know that it'll happen often, but boy, it sure was interesting. I agree.
We got a countdown on to keep the government funding. Everybody agrees we ought to do that, but are they trying to do a clean bill and DACA immigration? Will it get gummed up, or what do you think?
Well, I don't know. Yeah. I can't imagine that there'll be a shutdown. I don't see how that helps anybody. But Democrats are kind of in a pickle because Republicans, it looks like they're not going to get anything settled on all of these issues before next Friday when the funding runs out. And Republicans, as much as they hate it, say, well, then let's kick the can down the road another week or two while we try to work out DACA and all these things. But Democrats have pledged to their base and a lot of Hispanics and a lot of the immigration lobby that they not kick it down, and that they make a that this be tied to any bill to keep funding the government. Are they going to be willing to shut down the government over that? They've got a lot of pressure both ways, so that'll be very interesting to see.
Chris, let me get you out of here on the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue and the election. I mention this because there have been a couple names pop up this week. Congressman Issa, not going to run for re-election. You got some other veteran Republicans. What's the mood as far as the Republicans keeping control, you think?
Grave concern. Grave concern. I mean, first of all, if you just look at the history of first-term elections, and this first-term midterms, and this is, you know, 2 years after a new president comes in,
right,
his party almost always loses seats, and frankly, by 20, 30 votes. Well, 24 would be enough to change control. In addition, the president's ratings, even though the people like how the economy is going, the president is still under 40% in his approval. You combine those two things, and an awful lot of Republicans think that they're going to lose control. They didn't like particularly the way life was here in Washington for them in the majority. They really won't like it if they're in the minority. So I would say at this point, the kind of, it's not certain by any means, it's an eternity until November, but I think there's a growing assumption in Washington that Democrats are going to take back the House, if not the Senate.
A lot of topics to watch play out with analysis Sunday morning with Chris Wallace on Fox News Sunday. Thanks for the preview.
You bet. Thank you, Bill.
I'm not sure Rush agrees with the Republicans losing, which a lot of people think.
Rush Limbaugh, he follows the news at noon today. News Radio, WTAM 1100. Big weekend for movies. This is Bill Wills. Good morning. Kevin Carr joins me from Fat Guys at themovies.com. Hi, Kevin.
How you doing today, sir?
We've been struggling on some new ones, although we've been hearing some of these talked about for a while in some of the bigger cities because they got released before for Oscar, and finally we get to check them out this weekend. Kevin Carr is with me at fatguysthemovies.com. Proud Mary out this weekend. Also, The Commuter, Paddington 2, and The Post. Let's get right to The Post. A lot of buzz about this. Steven Spielberg, Meryl Streep, Tom Hanks. This is, goes back to the late 60s, early 70s, Washington Post and the Pentagon Papers, right?
Yep, the Pentagon Papers, which, if you don't remember, preceded Watergate. It wasn't necessarily part of it, but kind of like smeared into the whole scandal. But it's the story of how the Washington Post ended up publishing the Pentagon Papers and the struggle that they had with the presidency and pushback from Nixon and whether or not it was legal or constitutional and what they could publish and what they should have been allowed to publish in the First Amendment type thing. And it's relevant now because, you know, there's always been questions on, you know, can you take the First Amendment too far and what's privileged and what's not. And this is sort of a ringing a bell for the free press, which I think is an important thing to have, absolutely. So it's more of a slow burn thriller, kind of in the spirit of All the President's Men, in which you've got these great actors playing this role of something very significant in American history.
Absolutely, as far as the history of it, Tom Hanks plays the editor Ben Bradley, and of course the owner of the Washington Post at the time, Miss Graham. She had a lot of decisions to make, and that all falls on Meryl Streep, right?
Yeah. It shows the paper when it was not quite what you thought it would think of it today, being this institution, when it was building up there and breaking out between a local paper to become a national paper.
The Post out this weekend. So you liked it all in all?
Yeah, absolutely. I thought it was one of the best movies of the year, simply because it's directed with tension, it's directed with deliberation. Spielberg does a great job, and it doesn't have a boring moment to it.
Look forward to seeing it at The Post out this weekend. Kevin Carr with me from FatGuysAtTheMovies.com. All right, let's move over to Hugh Grant. We're going to go to Paddington. This is Paddington 2 this time, right? The Bear is back?
The Bear is back, and it's Paddington 2. It's the story of Paddington Bear, who, of course, was found at Paddington Station and loves orange marmalade. And, if you don't know the Paddington stories, they're these charming little children's books of this bear that was adopted by a family in England. And the first movie was just totally charming and sweet and wonderful, and this one is very much cut from the same cloth. And so it's got Paddington trying to get a gift for his aunt and ends up in jail because of a mixed identity and sort of how his adventures take him from there. But it's very charming. It's very sweet. It's whimsical. It's got that British edge of humor and it's filled with a lot of actors you'd recognize from other British projects.
All right, so you want to relax, kids with you. Paddington 2 sounds good. One more, The Commuter, Kevin Carr with me at FatGuysTheMovies.com. Liam Neeson in this thing. This thing looks interesting.
Yeah, this one is another Liam Neeson action movie where he's inadvertently put into an action sequence. And this one he plays a man who commutes every day to and from the city, and he is approached by somebody on the train to find somebody else on the train with no other information, and he's being threatened by it, and his family's in trouble, and he's got to get it all taken care of before they reach the last stop. So it's a little bit of a Hitchcock sort of thriller, sort of a cross between Hitchcock and Taken, and it's actually quite good. I mean, Liam Neeson's always good in these kind of movies, and it's a nice, fun little action flick for early January.
Sounds good. The Commuter, The Post, Paddington 2, also proud Proud Mary out this weekend. Some new stuff to pick from when you venture out and get to a movie. Kevin Carr is at fatguysatthemovies.com. Check his website before you check something out this weekend. Kevin, thanks much.
All right, thank you.
Let's talk some Cavaliers and sports, our teams. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Ohio Sports Writer of the Year, proud grad at Benedictine. Hi, Terry.
Hello, Mr. Wills.
In prepping for the interview, and you might be surprised I do prep to talk to you. I noticed some scribbles you posted about the Cavs the other day. I'm curious, after a 133-99 loss and talk of a gen, can we repeat anything you've scribbled, or is it like a Trump list this morning? I can't say what you're saying.
I can't tell if you're trying to bite my ear off or what after that news thing, but I wrote the other day how Isaiah Thomas could be in for some more Rocky games.
Yeah.
And it goes back to what Lenny Wilkins told me many years ago, the former Cavs coach, said that oftentimes when a guy comes back from an injury after he's been out a long time, he has a couple, what he called them, adrenaline games, where they play well right away for a game or two, and then, like, the legs, everything kind of hits, and he goes through a rocky period before he gets himself back to normal. Oh, my goodness. I didn't know that many didn't make a shot.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Yeah, he really struggled last night, 0 for 11.
The defense is, like, not even 5 good minutes like you like to advertise. Forget it. It was just, it's brutal.
Terry, 3 games, they've given up 387 points. That's staggering. That is, it's a staggering number.
Well, it's not quite 130. It's 129.
And then at the very end, Terry, I was listening to Coach Lou, and I was kind of saying, oh, yeah, tell me more, say something more to me than, well, we just got to get better, which he did for about 2 minutes. And then at the very end, he drops us out there, well, there may be some agendas. And I think when you hear that, then you start going, well, whoa, yeah, it's a little more than adjusting to Isaiah here.
Yeah, I think so, because they had some of these games almost as bad. Remember when they were 5-7 early in the season?
Right.
And this was a team that ranked 29th in defense after the All-Star break a year ago. I mean, basically, they don't like to defend. But, you know, another thing that's been part of this, Mike, is some of these rebounding margins, they've been out and rebounded by 20 in some of these games. That's a big part of it, too.
Yeah, 63-35 last night, Terry. I don't know. We're getting closer to that trade deadline. Yeah. They may have to make a move.
Right. That's why last weekend I brought up the thought of, do you trade for DeAndre Jordan? He isn't a super shot blocker or anything, but he's an elite rebounder. He is a physical player. You have to think about it. You saw those big guys for Toronto. They just own the rim, and we've seen that with some others, too.
Well, it was a horrible sight as in the last two. We thought Minnesota was bad, and then it was Toronto, and tonight not an easy place. You know, while we have you, I did want to ask you, though, and I know the focus is the Cavs today, but you did a piece today on Spurgeon Wynn.
Yeah.
And I really think when we think about the Browns quarterbacks, maybe it is because of his name, and
right,
he did have a horrible game when he got the start. But it's a great story you did on him.
He didn't even get all the way through the game. He got hurt.
Yes. Well, but it was interesting, though. He was in the Tom Brady draft. That's what bubbles up.
Yeah, the Brady Six, as he calls it. And it's really worth reading because this is a guy who was drafted out of what's now Texas State, couple slots before Tom Brady. And then he knew that he was going to actually have a career after football. He reminded me a lot of the guys I talked to when I did a book called Brownstown 64 on the 64 Browns. And so he finished up his undergrad degree in business, got his MBA in business from the University of Houston, and now he trades. I don't quite understand what the job is. It's energy. He's an energy broker down in Houston, does well. He's got two kids, and it's nice to see that because, you know, he never made a ton of money in football.
Good for him.
And he had one game with the Browns. He was number 13.
Spurgeon Wynn.
But he was taken before Brady.
Great piece.
Yes, he was.
Check that out, Cleveland Plain Dealer today, and up online too at Cleveland.com. Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, talking about our teams. Terry, thanks. Have a good weekend, bud.
Take care, guys. 100.
Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. Your morning Cavs update this morning brought to you by Huntington Bank. Want a bank that believes in looking out for its customers? Welcome to Huntington. All right, Jim Jones traveling with the Cavs, of course. He and John Michael on the broadcast last night in Indiana tonight. 133-99 loss. I hate to say you've slept on it because you haven't slept much. But, Jim, this is concerning. And Mike Snyder this morning is talking about Coach Lou. in the Post last night using the word agendas. Jim, you tell it like it is. So what are we seeing here? What are you looking at?
Well, I don't believe it's the coach's fault. I just believe the players are not doing what they're supposed to do. Bill, this is true in anything, what I'm going to tell you now. In life, we have to control the things that we can control, and we're not doing that. And we have to minimize the things that are uncontrollable, and that's what we're not doing. The things that we can control as far as a basketball team are the way we approach the game, the enthusiasm and competitiveness that's fundamentally necessary to just be in the game and give yourself a chance to win. Last night when I got in, I had a chance to look at some of the defense that we played. And you guys know I harp on defense all the time. You know, and everybody in this league is fundamentally playing the same style of defense. It's nothing new. And I had never seen so many guys get beat off the dribble. And that includes everyone that played last night. It was so contagious that we quit making comments on it because it was so obvious. The other thing is that we still can't get to the three-point shooters, because if you can't control the dribbler and he throws down the lane, how are you going to rotate properly and quickly enough to contest the shot or close out? We're not doing those things. Those are basketball things, and those are fundamental to us just being competitive. I didn't say anything about winning the game. I'm talking about just being competitive. Another thing what teams are doing, and I think they all got this from the Warriors, you can dribble drive against them, which opens up your three-point shooting, but you can also get them in transition by playing an up-tempo pace. And that those are the three obvious things, you know, that we report on and that we see. And it's not about the coaching. It's not about that. It's about the players in that locker room. And I think that's where Lou was going. Somehow, some way, these guys have got to dig down deep, show some pride and some guts. You know, we are too talented a team, at least on paper, you know, to lose the way that we're losing.
Jim, staggering numbers too. 63-35, they were out-rebounded last night. And, you know, you look at Tristan and Kevin Love, quite often they are undersized. Is that a big concern of you going forward, looking big picture?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is, because when you're undersized at any position, because I was an undersized center, you have to make up for it in your fundamentals and your effort. And those are some of the fundamental issues that I'm having. Teams don't fear us at all. They drive on us and get to the rim. They drive on us and get to the paint. Role players, guys that we used to call scrubs, coming off the bench from other teams, names that we can't hardly pronounce, are guys that don't have a history of being good players. And these guys are finishing at the rim. Rozier killed us. Last night we got killed by Van Vliet and Powell. They played like all-stars against us. It just seems like, guys, that we're not getting the job done, and it's more in our head than it is in our feet.
Well, yeah, and I think that's the thing, Jim, as I look at this team, too. We know it's not a – when you look at the roster right now, it's not going to be a great defensive team. It's just not, but they certainly can be better. They don't need to be great for this team to win games, but right now they're just not offering any resistance. And as you mentioned, these young guys, these other teams, they're getting confidence, and they're playing great. They feel like, hey, no one's going to bother me here. I'm going to get open looks. I'm going to go to the basket, as the Cavs have not gotten in anybody's way this week.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm not sure that other coaches talk to each other, but Mike, you know, this is one of my old adages. They scout you. They scout you. They look at film. They see your weaknesses. They see your strengths. And what the Cavs have been unable to do are two things. Like I said again, guys, don't forget this. They're not controlling the things that they can control, and that's in our heads. The other thing is that they're not minimizing the uncontrollable, and that's the efforts of other teams. And you got to be able to minimize that, and it starts on the defensive end, not the offensive end. And that's where we're having issues. You know, you see the numbers. I can't disguise those. I can't sugarcoat that. you know, that's too obvious. You know, I'm not stupid, you know, and neither are the coaches. And when, and at some point, guys, it's not about coaching. It's about the guys in that locker room, and I think that's where Lou was going.
Good, strong take. Jim Jones with us, Cavs tonight in Indiana. Window Nation Cavs now, Nick Camino at 6. Tip-off show follows. Cavs Pacers 7 o'clock tonight on News Radio, WTAM 1100, home of the Cavaliers. Let's hope they get this thing fixed for Monday night. Big matchup with the Warriors. Jim, thanks, pal. Have a good weekend.
You're welcome,
stay
guys.
Safe,
same
too, man.